Good evening, I'm Evan, and you're listening to the Kinky Crafter Podcast. Tonight is Wednesday, April 9th, and I'm going to be talking about myself a little bit. Basically going to be going into a brief description of my background, my interests, my experiences, things like that. I figure if you're going to be listening to my show, it would probably be good to have a general idea of, you know, who I am and where I'm coming from. As far as my general demographic information goes, I'm in my late 20s. I live in a large metropolitan area. I've been publicly involved in BDSM for, I'd say, almost 4 years now. I've been particularly active in the last 2 years. I've been going to a lot of public classes, doing a fair amount of public playing, things like that. And so far, I've been in, you know, one relationship that I would consider fairly serious and long-term that had a significant amount of DS involved in it. But currently I'm single and currently I engage in a fair amount of, I guess you'd call it casual playing in public with a few different individuals. I kind of hesitate to use the term casual because obviously, it's fairly serious activity with a lot of connection between individuals and things like that. But I basically use the term to differentiate between significant relationships and, you know, people who are, well, multiple play partners. So yeah, I generally identify as a heterosexual male dominant. I tend to be fairly dominant in any kind of DS relationship or play that I engage in. Almost always in the top position in any kind of actual, any kind of scening. I have bottomed in some scenes, but that's usually more a case of wanting to experience what certain kinds of activity or play feels like, so that I can have a better understanding and better control over what I'm doing to someone else. Basically, I don't get that much out of bottoming, from a personal perspective. Those are the things that immediately come to mind as far as, quick overview of who I am. As far as the kind of activities that I'm interested in, I enjoy a fairly wide variety of sensation play, a lot of impact play with canes, flogging, straps, paddles. I enjoy a lot of hands-on direct contact impact play with spanking, slapping, punching, things like that. And definitely enjoy the very the intense physical connection you get from playing directly with someone in a hands-on manner. I also engage in a fairly wide variety of what I would generally consider to be sensation play. I enjoy fire play a whole lot, cupping. I've really been getting a lot more into needle play lately. That's one of the ones I'm a big fan of. I also play around with, almost anything I can think of, quite frankly, with sensation play, just because there's such a wide variety of sensations, and, it's one of the things where creativity and variety really plays a big part in, making the play enjoyable. I'm also really into bondage, suspension bondage in particular. I know I hear a lot of people kind of saying that a lot of new people in the scene that they get into bondage have a tendency to sort of jump right into suspension bondage because it's sort of tends to be kind of perceived as sort of a destination, maybe, like, that's where you're supposed to be heading. For me, it's not that so much as, while I enjoy other kinds of bondage, restraint in general, I just get more out of a suspension scene. So I tend to really enjoy doing suspensions. I usually prefer working with hemp rope, although I've done some stuff with nylon. It's just another one of those things where I prefer the feeling and the sensation and the aesthetic property. It feels better and looks better for me. So, I kind of go with that. I've just recently started making my own rope out of bamboo. I'm actually hand spinning bamboo fiber into threads and then using an antique rope machine to twist the threads into bamboo rope, which I'm pretty happy with the results so far. It has a very interesting texture to it. It's very, it's a lot smoother than, even the very, very softly conditioned hemp, but it doesn't have that slick nylon feel. It still has a very, and, you know, has a good organic texture to it, which I enjoy a lot. Also, it has the added benefit of, you know, inherent antibacterial properties. As soon as I can get around to making more of that, I'm really looking forward to integrating that more into the suspension scenes. Out of the bamboo rope that I have produced, I've gotten very good results with it as far as the load-bearing property goes. Two loops, so four strands total, had no problem supporting my weight jumping up and down on it as hard as I could with about 260 pounds. So it's fairly sturdy stuff. I look forward to actually getting some kind of more scientific load testing at some point, but that's it's going to be a little further down the line. That's all that really comes to mind in the immediate, as far as, you know, just general overall types of play. Most of the things that I've been doing lately, you know, because I'm not in a, in a more involved DS relationship, most of my activities have been more sensation or sexual play oriented. One of the great things about the area that I'm living in right now is, in most large metropolitan areas, this is the case. There's a great club here that's very well equipped, and a good crowd of people to go there. There's a great local organization that I'm involved with, and of course they have a TNG section that I try to be fairly active in. They do lots of educational classes and, you know, monthly socials and things like that, play parties. So it's nice to have a community that you can really, you know, interact with and enjoy being around like-minded people where you can really kind of feel comfortable and accepted. It's one of the things that I enjoy the most about the public community at large. For the most part, it tends to be a fairly interesting, open-minded, accepting type crowd. So I actually end up enjoying a lot of the social kind of aspects of things, you know, outside of the immediate, directly BDSM related aspects. I've been involved in the past with some of the sort of groups that have, well, they tend to have fairly overlapping crowds with the BDSM scene, SCA stuff, Ren Faire type activities, kind of science geekdom in general. Tends to be a fair amount of overlap in the kind of alternative social crowd that tends to be more, more intelligent, creative, and open-minded. People that tend to be more of all of those things and other aspects of their lives, well, it tends to carry over into the bedroom, which, in a lot of cases that I've seen, you know, ends up leading them into the BDSM scene, which I think is why there's so much overlap there. I guess I should probably talk a little bit about, kind of what my motivations were for doing the podcast in the first place. I think one of the main reasons that I wanted to start putting a show out, was just, I kind of like the idea of being able to express myself. I have a big ego, of course. So I like the idea that, some people might, be interested in hearing what I have to say. So, it's not entirely altruistic, I guess, but, I like the idea of having a sort of a vehicle for me to kind of share my thoughts and opinions and feelings on things, and hopefully add in a fair amount of interesting and useful content for people that either don't know a lot about BDSM or just enjoy hearing about, enjoy hearing different opinions and different perspectives on things. I hope the craft segments that I'm going to be doing will be, either interesting or hopefully helpful to people who are also interested in crafts, or maybe even people who, aren't necessarily interested in making things themselves, but enjoy learning more about the kind of toys that they're using, or more about the toys that are getting used on them. Aside from the immediate self-expression, I'm hoping the podcast will have the added benefit of, well, since I'm going to be doing a craft segment every week, that means that hopefully a year from now I should have 52 new things that I've made. So there's a bonus there, in that it, sort of gives me a kind of a built-in drive and motivation to become more active in the things that I'm interested in, that otherwise, it's easy to sort of put off your hobbies and interests because you get sort of caught up in everyday life. And I thought this would be a nice way to sort of motivate myself into keeping up with things, and also in advancing, getting better at doing things, so that I can do a better job of describing them. I'm also interested in just sort of improving my presentation skills in general. I you know, over the last several years, I've really focused a lot on becoming a better listener, sort of as part of learning to communicate better, which one thing that I've really learned over the past few years and just about every different aspect of my life, from work to relationships, pretty much in everything, is that communication really is key in almost everything that we do that involves, well, anyone other than yourself. But, you know, I kind of realized that I've been working so much on becoming a better listener that I wasn't really talking that much. So I figured it'd be good to work on that. And hopefully the, you know, the next coming weeks and months and, you know, possibly even years will show a you know, kind of progress and improvement in my general presentation. You know, the ease with which I talk, and also just, you know, the technical improvements and, you know, the use of my equipment and the sound of my voice, things like that. I'm hoping I can gradually improve on all of those things. I'm also planning on trying to put some effort into improving the craft segment presentation for the last one with the floggers. And I try to do a basic picture presentation showing the progression and some of the other related things that I have and things like that. You know, if you have any thoughts or feedback on that, you know, whether you like the way it looked, whether, you know, any suggestions on the pictures and the size or format, anything like that, feel free to share them. I'm definitely interested in hearing feedback and kind of getting an idea of what, you know, what people who are, you know, what people who are listening to the show think about things and how well it's working, and getting that information across. So hopefully my presentation skills in general should be improving as the you know, as the show progresses. I'm thinking that the daily you know, the daily segments in particular will be nice to be able to just kind of chat about what's on my mind, things that I'm interested in, that sort of thing. You know, one of the things that I'm still kind of you know, tossing around is figuring out exactly how much of my sort of everyday life and experience that I want to really involve in things. A lot of that's just sort of general concern with other people's privacy, obviously. You know, if I have a really hot scene with somebody at the club on Saturday night, and, you know, I come home and then start talking about it, well, and obviously I would get consent from them before I did something like that. But in general, I'm going to be thinking about some of the privacy issues that are relevant there, and also you know, how private I want to be myself. You know, I tend to be a fairly open book as far as that sort of thing goes. I'm not really terribly shy about the kind of activities that I engage in. I don't go around, you know, wearing t-shirts because I work in a professional you know, job. But if somebody asks me, I'll tell them. You know, I'm not ashamed of what I do or who I am. You know, and that's actually pretty important to me. You know, but at the same time, I suppose I have to balance that out with other people's privacy that are involved with me, you know, with how, you know, how the things that I'm talking about could end up reflecting on me if, you know, if I ever got, well, directly connected in a public way with the podcast that I'm doing. So those are some things that I'm going to be thinking about. For the moment, I'm probably going to stay fairly generic on things. I don't think you, the listener, are really losing out on anything by not knowing specifically which club I'm going to, you know, but we'll see what happens. I am interested in sharing more, just because, well, because it's more comfortable and natural for me to be open and to not censor myself. And also, there's the possible added benefit of, like, you know, discussing upcoming local events, things of that nature that might be relevant and of interest to people who happen to live in the area. Which, you know, quite frankly, there's a lot of people living in this area, so. Yeah, having something that could also serve as a sort of local resource, I think, would not necessarily be a bad thing. So I don't know. I'm going to be, that's another one of those things I'm going to be giving some consideration, and would love to hear feedback, thoughts, opinions, suggestions, etc. At some point, I need to sit down and shoot out some emails or you know, audio comments, etc., to some of the other adult-oriented podcasters out there, and kind of get an idea of you know, what their opinions and experiences, or what their opinions are, what their experiences have been, that sort of thing. You know, there are there are some other adult podcasts out there that I would really recommend personally that I enjoy listening to. Great Answers Ropecast is definitely a big one. Being a fan of bondage in general, I enjoy listening to that. I'm also a big fan of Polyamory Weekly. With Minx, I identify as poly myself, even though I'm not currently in any committed relationships right now, which is a little funny, but I tend to look at it more from a point of, because I'm, basically I feel like by being open to, the possibility of multiple relationships, and quite frankly, I would be unlikely to enter into a committed relationship that was strictly monogamous. Because of that, I feel fairly comfortable identifying as poly. But I started listening to Polyamory Weekly actually before I felt that way, just because I was, as I was sort of getting more involved in the public scene, it was interesting, and getting involved in listening to podcasts as well. I was basically listening to any adult-oriented podcasts that I could find just out of curiosity. Actually ended up really, I think, learning a lot and getting a bunch of, some simple ideas, some more complex general, philosophy and whatnot out of it, which actually ended up being helpful because the long-term relationship that I was in before ended up having a lot of issues that, that a lot of the advice from there became helpful in. And, over time, I gradually sort of transitioned more into the kind of the poly mindset. I had a lot of what I would consider painful learning experiences, which are usually the ones that you learn the most from, that really helped me sort of understand what jealousy was to me and sort of helped me get over it, so that it wasn't something that that I had no control over. So I would definitely recommend Poly Weekly as well. There's a couple other ones out there that that maybe don't update as often or have stopped updating for a while. Kinky Sex Radio with Professor Tom was a really good one. Haven't heard from him in quite some time, but hopefully someday he'll be back on the pod waves. Let's see, there's Mistress Matisse. Mistress Matisse has a podcast that updates occasionally. I also listened to Submission and Coffee with Thorn Daddy and Dalai Lama. That's an interesting one, especially if you enjoy listening to recordings of hot, wild, crazy sex. They have a fair amount of that interspersed with sort of interesting discussions and sometimes it's idle chatter and sometimes it's fairly serious, kind of heavy thoughts on things. So, I enjoy listening to it. That's about it as far. One other one that I think is definitely worth commenting on is Subknit. That's Subknit. It's a kinky knitting podcast, which I enjoy listening to. While I'm not a knitter myself, I do spin and have lots of friends who are into knitting. Apparently, there's a kind of strange crossover, sort of overlap thing between people who knit or are involved in fiber related type activities in general and the scene. That's another one of those funny cross-cultural things, but because I have friends who knit and because I'm into spinning myself for the purposes of making rope for bondage, I find that one fairly interesting. That's about it off the top of my head as far as other podcasts that I sort of listen to and enjoy and have learned from. And that's I suppose that's about it for tonight. Nothing else immediately comes to mind, but on the upside, when I do think of something else that I want to talk about, I'll be here tomorrow and the day after that. That's one of the really positive things about doing a daily podcast, in my opinion, is just that it's an ongoing process. You don't have to worry about waiting a week to get a note in or remembering things. I guess sort of the trade-off there is that the show isn't going to be as polished or edited. I'm trying to do my best to get the sound quality to where it's not unpleasant, which I think I'm basically at this point. Once again, feel free to comment and disagree if you'd like. I'm very open to suggestions, feedback, etc. But, you know, I'm going to do the best to make the presentation as good as I can, you know, with the amount of post-production that I'm willing to do, which mostly for me, usually give the show a complete listen through. I'll remove any really loud coughs or anything like that that's kind of, you know, painful to listen to. I'll, you know, run Audacity. So I would, you know, I'd run the truncate silence filter on it, which cuts out the little pauses while I'm thinking about what I'm going to say, and it makes me sound, well, slightly more coherent anyway. I guess I could probably make one quick note about the equipment that I'm using. Basically, my setup consists of a Shure SM Beta 58 microphone, which is a dynamic microphone. I'm running a Behringer Xenix 2442 FX mixer, which is a monster of a mixing console. I put a picture up with the with the rest of the photos from the Flogging Craft episode, just because I like looking at it, quite frankly. It has a ton of different inputs and, you know, built-in sound effects and everything else, which it's being very underused at this point, but I like the idea of being able to expand smoothly without having to worry about upgrading as much, and I got it on sale, so I was pretty happy with that. I'm running that. I've got an insert cable running from that to a gate / compressor. Basically, the gate, when things are under a certain noise level, it it makes it even quieter. So when I'm not actively talking, it drops down the background noise to almost nothing. You don't have to worry about hearing nearly as much of the background noise, ambient hiss, neighbors yelling at each other, car driving by, whatever. It's pretty good for that. And then the compressor, it basically keeps things from getting too loud. The technical audio detail in there is a little more complicated than that, but it makes it so that when my voice gets a lot louder, the recording only gets a little louder, which makes it, well, it makes it sound better to simplify. I'm running out from that. The output from the mixer is going into a digital sampler and a digital recorder. So I'm recording directly onto into Audacity. But I'm also, simultaneously making a backup recording in case the computer crashes or anything of that sort. I have a M-Audio MicroTrack 2, a digital recorder. I use that for the backup recordings. Also, eventually planning on using it for, field recording, as it were. If I'm doing an interview with someone else, I can take it where I need to go. The mic preamps on it aren't quite as good as the mixer, so. The quality probably won't be as clear, but it's still very intelligible, in my opinion. So I think it'll be fairly useful for that. We'll see how that goes. I might take it on the road with me. Like if I'm going out of town for the weekend, the mixer, while fun and pretty to look at, with all its shiny knobs and lights and whatnot, it doesn't pack up well. So when I'm on the road, I'll probably just take the digital recorder with me and work off of that and. Hopefully I'll still be able to maintain a fairly respectable audio quality. I'm using Audacity for recording. That's it, really. I mean, I'm not doing a whole lot fancy in Audacity. Pretty much I just, run a quick truncate silence. I do output the WAV file and then run it through a program called Levelator, which is, for podcasting is one of the best free applications out there. It does a really great job of... sort of dynamically normalizing things and evening out volume levels. So if I start out the podcast talking really loudly, and then sort of fade down a little bit as the podcast goes on, or if I'm unconsciously moving the microphone further and closer and further away from my face because I'm not using a stand yet, it kind of compensates for that and sort of evens everything out and makes it a lot easier on the ears. And after that, I just encode to an MP3, throw it up on the website after giving it a listen to make sure everything sounds decent. The website is being run by WordPress with I believe it's called PodPress plugin, which allows you to just make a blog entry, add a media file to it, and it automatically takes care of all the business with setting up the feed. So. It's fairly convenient and easy setup. I'm sure it's a fairly common one as far as podcasters go. But basically everything is designed to for me to minimize post-production, because if I'm planning on recording a decent amount of audio on a regular basis, the amount of time and effort that it would take me to really polish things up and make everything sound perfect and clean and pretty is just a lot more than it's more time than I have, quite frankly. So I'm trying to make the best out of what I have. And that's about it for tonight. Like I said, I'd love to hear any feedback that you have. I can be reached at Evan, EVAN, @kinkycrafter.com. And I look forward to hearing from you, and I hope you have a good night.